Please open with me in your Bibles to one of the most famous sayings, not only in the Bible, but of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. If you were to ask people to name a verse in the Bible, I'm talking about people that never go to church, many of them have heard this. It is not well known. We go through the Gospel of Luke week by week in our worship services, and this verse is a golden verse that deserves one whole message. It's a golden verse that is usually called the Golden Rule. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. We don't know who for sure named it the Golden Rule. It goes back to at least 1674. And it's a good, concise statement of Christian ethics. Even children can learn it. And let me urge you parents to teach it to your children. Teach them Bible verses. Teach them this one. Remind them of this as they grow up, especially in hard situations. Maybe when kids are squabbling over something, teach them now, do to them like you want them to do to you. And the best way to teach your children isn't just with words, but your example. Not only say it to them, show it to them. Someone once called this the Everest of ethics. And it's in both Luke 6:31 and Matthew 7:12. But did you know that forms of this have been found even outside the Bible? Several of the ancient Jews had this in some of their writings. Let me just read some of those to you. In the book of Tobit, it says, "What you yourself hate, do to no man." In the letter to Aristeus, it says, "As you wish that no evil should befall you, but to be a partaker of all good things, so you should act on the same principle toward your subjects and offenders." In the ancient Talmud, oh, that's around the 4th or 5th century, collection of Jewish sayings, there was an old saying that a Gentile that thought about becoming a Jew wanted to know what were their laws and what was the greatest law. So he went to one of the great rabbis named Shammai, and he said, "Look, I'm a Gentile. I don't know much of these things. Could you sum up all of your laws while I'm standing on one foot? Can you do that in just a short period of time?" Well, Shammai didn't like that, so he threw stones at him and said, "Get out of here, Gentile." So he went to another rabbi named Hillel. And Hillel says, "Yes, I can say it to you while you're standing on one foot." And he said this, "What is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. This is all the law. Everything else is just commentary." "Well said, Hillel." In the Testament of Naphtali, it says, "None should do to his neighbor what he does not like for himself." And then there was a Jewish philosopher that lived shortly after the time of the New Testament. His name was Philo. And he said, "Let no man himself do what he hates to have done to himself." So some of the ancient Jews said various forms of the Golden Rule, but even it went beyond the boundaries of Judaism. One of the Greeks named Isocrates said, "Do not do to others the things which make you angry when you experience them at the hands of other people." One of the great Stoic philosophers, Epictetus, said, "What you avoid suffering yourself, do not do to anyone else." And then Sextus said, "As you wish your neighbors to treat you, so treat them." There have been forms of this found amongst Buddhists, Hindus. I don't think anybody's yet found it amongst the Muslims, but Confucius, the founder of the ancient Chinese philosophy, said, "Do nothing to your neighbor which afterward you would not have your neighbor do to you." Now, this presents an interesting question. How is it that we find forms of the Golden Rule outside the Bible, outside Judaism, even in non-Christian religions? When I was in high school, growing up in a very liberal church back in New Orleans, I remember the youth leader once gave me a little booklet of sayings from all the different world religions, And included in that were some of these various ones I've just read to you, forms of the golden rule. And that little booklet was basically saying, well, all religions are the same. They have the same ethics, such as the golden rule. Therefore, it doesn't matter what you believe, but Christianity is a good one, so why don't you try that? But that's wrong. We know that all religions are not the same, even if many of them have forms of the golden rules. So again, how do we answer that dilemma? And the answer should be very obvious. It says in Romans 2 and elsewhere that God has put the basics of his moral law on our consciences. And so everybody knows that stealing is wrong, adultery is wrong, and murder is wrong. And so it should be expected that the golden rule would crop up in other cultures because it is written on their heart. Now, but when you look at those other forms of it, you'll notice that they are usually put in the negative. Don't do something bad to that person because you don't want them to do something bad to you. But look at the text before us. In both of these verses, in Matthew and Luke, Jesus puts it in the positive. You say, well, what's the difference? Aren't you nitpicking? No, it's very important. Because we can say, well, I won't do anything bad to anybody else. That's good. Jesus says, go a step further and actually do good to other people like you want them to do good to you. Now, this is a good rule of thumb. Years ago, there was a little popular thing going around the church. Some of you remember the little WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? And parents and youth group leaders would say, now, children, wear this. And when you're ever in a really tough spot, just think, what would Jesus do? Well, the Bible does say he's our example, but here's another one. Maybe you could put, I don't think anybody's made a bracelet out of this yet, but the golden rule, not just for children, but for adults. When we're in an awkward situation, maybe with someone that's hard to get along with, maybe you're tempted to lose your temper, just remember, not just on your wrist, but on your heart, the golden rule. Do to them good things that you would want them to do to you. Now, this is indirectly related to another ethical principle. Some of you that have gone to college and maybe studied ethics have heard of the categorical imperative. Who or what is that? About 250 years ago, a German philosopher, Immanuel Kant, wrote a very technical book that is still being read, and he summed up this categorical imperative like this. He says, do only those things that you yourself would wish to be a universal rule for everybody. And there's a lot of truth in that. Now look at the context when Jesus gives this to us. Last week we talked about how Jesus twice said, love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you and curse you. Do good to them. And now he sticks in the golden rule as an example of that. Do good even to your enemies. And that's the context. He's not saying do good to them as a way of getting them to like you and to do good to you. And that's what some people do with the golden rule. They say, well, you know, I want this person to do something good to me, so I'm going to butter them up. Do they still use that phrase, butter someone up? I learned it as a kid, and I think other people have done it before me. We manipulate people. We do good things to them, so they will do good to us in return. That's a misuse of this principle. Jesus said, do good to people, and we'll see later on. He says, do good to people, expecting nothing in return. We don't do it to manipulate them to do good to us. We do it out of the goodness of our heart because we're commanded to. And we find the example in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should do good as we would want them to do good to us, even if they do not respond by doing good to us. What Jesus is saying is something deeper than this. What he's saying is have sympathy for other people. Be sensitive to their needs. And do good to them even if they don't deserve it. Put yourself in their place. We need to do that. We need to realize what is that person going through. For example, before we overly criticize them. There is an old saying amongst the American Indians that says, never criticize someone until you've walked a mile in their moccasins. That's good. That person might be carrying a heavy burden. Realize that and be sympathetic and Do good to that person. Maybe help carry that burden. Put yourself in that person's place. Let me give you a couple of practical applications of that. When I go visit people at home, whether they're sick or in the hospital that are hurting and maybe afraid, are they going to get better? I remember the times when I was in the hospital. And I said, now, how did I want people to come and visit me? And I thought of some bad examples where people weren't very sympathetic and they kind of ignored me and they were kind of shallow. And then I thought of times when someone came to me that really ministered mercy to me. And I said, you know, I'm visiting someone now that's really hurting. How would I want someone to visit me if I was hurting? You go and do likewise. Be sympathetic, sensitive, and loving. Second illustration is very similar to that. When we visit the elderly that are in a nursing home or confined to home. Did you know that for the last few years I had a personal assistant that came with me to the nursing homes and visit the elderly? A man named Billy Sexton. And he's now taken from us. But I would take him with me. And sometimes I would just sit back and say, Billy, do your stuff. And he was very loving and compassionate. These are needs, brethren. I am somewhat humbled and ashamed that I haven't visited as much as I should have. And some of the people that Billy and I visited are no longer with us. Just in the last few months, several of our people have been taken to heaven. But this work needs to be going on. We need to visit the elderly, the sick. We need to be sensitive and loving to them. This last week, I went and visited someone that hasn't been back to church in several years because she is caring for a husband that has severe Alzheimer's. So I went there and spent several hours with her and comfort her and encouraged her. And before I left, she grabbed my hand with tears. She said, you have no idea how much this visit meant to me. Brethren, let me issue a call. Let's put the golden rule into practice with some of these of our people that we don't see here much. I could name names and you say, who is that person? And I said, well, she hadn't been back here because she's confined to home. Let's put ourselves in their place. You know, we go and visit the nursing home two or three times a week. We do it because we're commanded to and because we love them. But there's another reason that some of us go there. And you know what it is? It's an application of the golden rule. I regularly remind myself, that's going to be me one day in the nursing home. Don't I want someone to come visit me with a smile on their face and maybe read some scripture or sing a little song? Brethren, that will be many of us one day. So let's do to them as we want people to do for us one day. Please take an exhortation from your pastor in this. And I want to thank those that do put this in place by visiting the sick or the elderly and reach out in other ways. We need to be with tender with those that are hurting or lonely and depressed and apply the golden rule to them. Do you remember when you were hurting, lonely, or depressed? Let your memory touch your heart to reach out to those that are hurting. Doctors have to learn this. Can you imagine if a doctor went up to a patient who is racked with pain with a broken arm and he grabs it like he's fitting a pipe like a plumber? They say to the doctors, never treat that hurting person like that. They have kind of a magic hands. And I know this last week I went to the doctor and doctors know how to be just gentle with people. We need to be gentle with people that have hurting hearts. We need to be gentle with them like a doctor with a patient in pain. And brethren, if we put into practice the golden rule, could you imagine what a difference this would make in society? Just think of some other commonplace things. For example, if you had a neighbor that in the middle of the night, he turns on his radio and starts dancing or something like that, and it wakes you up. He doesn't know the meaning of the golden rule. But what about us? Recently on my vacation, I felt like saying, does anybody in this building know the meaning of the golden rule? I was staying in a motel, and 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, people were checking in, walking up and down the hallways, yelling, hey, Charlie, don't forget the suitcase. People do this. Now, I'm thinking, if I did this outside of their room, they'd probably come out and hit me in the news. I'll give you another example of this. A few months ago, I was preaching in another city, and sure enough, it was well after midnight, and I was in bed trying to sleep. And two boys, about 13, were literally having a race up and down the hall, yelling and saying, "Well, you won, I'll beat you this time." And they were yelling. And I said, "Well, they'll calm down." Well, after a couple of minutes, they didn't. And I think the other residents there were a little afraid to go out there and tell them to hush up. Not Pastor Daniel. So I threw on some slacks. So I went out there and put on my meanest Clint Eastwood look. And I just looked at them and I did this. And they came up to me. They didn't know who or what I was, but they were afraid. And I just said, "Boys, you know what time it is?" And they said, "No." And I said, "It's past midnight. You ought to be in bed." "Do you know that everybody behind those doors is trying to sleep?" "No, sir, we didn't know that." What if you were trying to sleep and others were out here running up and down, yelling and keeping you awake? I could tell they had never thought of that. And I said, "You think of that. Now you go to your rooms, close the door and go to bed." "Yes, sir." Well, I don't want to have to be as strict with you, family of God, but let's be sensitive to other people, even in the small things. Let me give you some more examples of this. If you ever find some lost money or a purse, don't say, "Finders keepers." Go and turn it in. Wouldn't you want someone to do that if you lost your wallet, your purse, or something like that? Parents, remember that when you were once a child. Now, sometimes children have difficulty thinking that their parents were once children, but sometimes when we grow up, we forget what it was like to be a child. So parents, remember this when you teach your children and when you discipline them. Also, spouses need to put into place the golden rule. When your husband, your wife is sick or has had a bad day at work, be patient with them and remember, tomorrow that might be you. So put the golden rule into place. Be very patient with them. Here's another example in your place of employment. Whether it's at a factory or at a business, put the golden rule into practice. Let me give you a good illustration of that. About 100 years ago, there was a Christian that started a little store. And he said, "I'm going to be a Christian at the workplace, not just at home, not just at church." And so when he started this little store, he had a few employees, and he says, "Now, we're going to do this store by the book, by the good book. And the number one rule is the golden rule." He says, "I want everybody here that's a clerk, you treat those customers as if you were the customer. You want to be patient. You want to answer their questions. You want to be honest with them. You want to be absolutely fair with them. Even if they're a little annoying and they don't buy anything, you put the golden rule, because remember, you have been a customer elsewhere. You treat them like you want to be treated." They said, "Yes, sir." And they said, "Now, you over here that are the purchasing agents, you treat other businesses like you want to be treated. When you order from the factory, the merchandise that we sell, remember the golden rule." In fact, he named the store the Golden Rule Store. And after a few months, it began to prosper. God blessed it. And then they decided to start another store in another town. And then another town. After the years, they had stores all over the country. They became large department stores. And they changed the name from the Golden Rule Store. And they named it after the man that started it. His name was J.C. Penney. The Golden Rule Store. Here's another example. Let's don't insult someone or make fun of another person. We wouldn't like that. Children, sometimes you pick on another child and you say, "You know, he's got big ears, he's short, she's too tall," something like that. We can always find something in you that is not perfect either, but we won't say that. We shouldn't pick on anybody else or insult them regardless of what it is. We don't want them to do that to us. Now, here's another practical application. Maybe some of you are taking notes. I've often said we need to practice the golden rule of prayer. What does that mean? Let us pray for others as we want them to pray for us. We put out a weekly prayer list. Don't you want people to pray for you in your time of need? Go and do likewise. Pray for others regularly, compassionately, as you want them to pray for you. Here's another one. Sometimes we go astray, we backslide, we do something wrong. We want someone to correct us in the right way. In the same way, brethren, when we see someone else going astray or sinning, let's rebuke them in the way we would want to be rebuked if we were going astray. Similarly, if we have to bring bad news to somebody, don't just drop it at their feet. Bring it in a very kind way. Remember when someone may have had to bring bad news to you. Here's a very practical one. In the era of cell phones, somebody ought to make mandatory instructions on cell phone courtesy. Have you ever been someplace, you know, waiting in a line somewhere, and someone gets a yak attack and pulls out the cell phone and starts talking three times louder than normal? And you're saying, please hold it down. And they say, none of your business, buddy. People will talk loud on the phone and interrupt other people and don't care. Probably the worst example I heard of this is a person says, I was at a wedding and someone's cell phone went off because they didn't adjust it. Not only that, she picked it up and answered it and talked for 5 minutes loudly during the wedding. Whatever happened to common courtesy? So let's remember that when we talk on cell phones, how about when we drive? Now, I could go on and on with lists like this, but provide your own examples from your observation and your memory of how to put into place the golden rule. Very briefly, let me mention some misunderstandings and misapplications of the golden rule. Number one, some people that are somewhat mean-spirited will say, yeah, the golden rule, that means do unto others before they do unto you. Or do unto others as they do unto you, but do it first. That's wrong. That's vengeance. And Jesus already prevented that. He says, don't do vengeance like that. You know, there's one of the Proverbs that says in the Old Testament, I did not do to them as they are doing to me. Number two, some people think this means, well, do unto others and they will do unto you. Be nice to other people and they'll be nice to you. Well, that sounds nice, but that doesn't always work. That's not what it's saying. You be nice and loving to them, even if they are not like that to you. Number three, here's a gross misunderstanding. Some people say, well, do sinful things that sinners want you to do to them. Definitely not true. Augustine clarified the golden rule by simply adding one word. He says, do good to others as you would want them to do good things to you. Number four. You've probably all heard this when you share the gospel with someone. I bet you heard this when you were sharing the gospel on Friday on the 4th of July. People will say, yes, I believe in the golden rule. My religion is the golden rule and the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, I don't know who Jesus was. That doesn't matter. But I keep the golden rule and therefore God will let me into heaven. They're wrong. That's not what the Bible says. Over in the parallel in Matthew 7:12, Jesus quoted the golden rule and said, this is the law and the prophets. We are not saved or given forgiveness and entrance into heaven by keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, or the golden rule. But I'd also test the person that says, my religion is just the golden rule and that's how I get to heaven. I'll say, okay, I'll test you on that. Do you keep the golden rule at all times, every day, your whole life? I don't think anybody's going to say, well, I always do this. I would say then if you've ever once broken the golden rule, you've broken God's law, and that enough would be enough to keep you out of heaven. Martin Luther said the main purpose of the Sermon on the Mount and the golden rule is to show us that we're unable to do this. This is a very high standard. The only person that's ever lived that can always keep the golden rule was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us the example. Think about that. Think about the theology of this. In Jesus, God did to us what he wants us to do to him. He wants us to love him because he loves us. But we don't love him. Jesus gave us the golden example in the golden rule. in his own life. Breaking it makes us sinners, but trying to keep it does not make us innocent angels. Basically, and here's where we conclude, the golden rule is simply a paraphrase of the second great commandment. First great commandment, love God, all your heart, soul, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus said there's a second just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that as yourself is simply implying the golden rule. Love others as you want them to love you and do good for you. So, brethren, may God write this golden rule on all of our hearts and enable us to keep it with everybody every day. Now let us pray. Father, thank you for the golden rule, but we know that we've all broken it. It's not easy for us. But thank you that Jesus kept it and he gave us the example. And he's given us not only your word, but your spirit. We ask that your spirit help us to put into practice the golden rule, even in the hard times, and forgive us when we've broken it. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.